It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, the Vice President of Athletics takes you inside the goings-on at USF. Now with this week's guest, here's Michael.
And today, our special guest is none other than Jim Fee, who I know many of Bulls Nation know, but probably don't know enough about in terms of things that go on day in, day out with all the things he does for USF. And my thoughts were that with the great success we've had in golf of late and the tournaments we've been running and so many different things are going on, it'd be a great time to kind of touch base with what Jim and his team does so well for here at USF. But let's start first, Jim, with just a little bit of background for those that aren't as familiar with you. But you're one of the very few employees that were actually here when I was here the first time around, so I always feel a special bond with you in that regard. But at that time, you were the head golf coach at the time, and then before that, you were an athlete here. So you're one of the very few that have had a chance to be a student athlete here, go on to play a little professionally, come back and coach here, and now a member of our senior staff. So tell us what it's been like on this whole transition and kind of the unique viewpoint and the love that you have for USF on this journey.
Well, Michael, thanks for having me today. It has been a pretty good journey for me. You know, starting out as a student athlete, one of the things that I enjoy most as a sport administrator, each year I get to meet with the new team. And in my men's golf meeting, I always get to or like to start out with, gentlemen, 40-something years ago, I sat in your seat as a student athlete here at USF. And, you know, we take it from there. So I got to
experience. Pretty cool to be able to say that.
It is. Not too many people can. And
40 years ago, by the way, today, this week, 40 years ago, they had this thing on Instagram the other day where, like, did you know When the Doves Cry came out 40 years? That's a 40-year-old song now, and you're talking about that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the number keeps getting bigger.
What's Love Got to Do with It by Tina Turner is 40 years old this year, too. So a lot of good songs.
my experience here as a student athlete was great. And, you know, having an opportunity to come back and be a part of coaching the team and, you know, continuing on into my role today has really been special for me overall. I always like to, you know, remember back when I was an athlete because the structure of the golf team was different. You know, certainly my coach had probably different challenges in that day than I did as a coach and that, you know, Steve Bradley does as our coach now. So I know everybody, all of our coaching staffs over the years have been passionate about what they do. And, you know, that makes it fun. And, you know, starting out as a student athlete and having a good career, really. I came as a walk-on as a freshman, but quickly was able to secure a little scholarship dollars. And my last year got to compete in the NCAA championship as an individual. Didn't get to bring my team, but was fortunate to be considered an honorable mention All-American that last year I was on the team. So, you know, that was all great experience. And I like to be able to share that with the players.
That's a good story about show folks where you can start and where you can ultimately go to.
Exactly. So when I did have an opportunity to come back and coach, it was kind of a dual role because for years the head coach also ran the golf course.
That's right. And so you ran the claw for all those years.
Yeah. Boy, memories there. but I, after playing a little bit professionally, jumped into the golf business and you know, I've always kind of been in the area over in Brandon at Bloomingdale Golfers Club is where I got my start. And running a golf course is a lot of fun, although quite competitive. So as a coach starting out here in 1996, it was, you know, spend the mornings up until about noon running the golf course business, and the afternoons with the team all afternoon. And, of course, travel, had to have a real good staff there to run the claw, you know, in my absence. And our women's coach was our merchandise coordinator.
Is
so,
that right?
Yep, she got to do all the buying, and I got to, you know, assist where I could. So
that's fascinating. Yeah. Talk a little bit about how the industry of golf course management and the whole business of that has changed in your eyes. Now, obviously, you're not doing it day-to-day anymore, but, man, it's become so much more specialized as an industry.
It has, yeah. The there a lot of the golf schools that people go to learn how to run a golf operation didn't necessarily exist back when I started. It was get in the golf business, work a whole lot of hours as an assistant pro, and you know, understand all the nuances of the business. In this particular area, we at that time when I came here, we had 145 golf courses within a 45-minute drive of campus.
Wow.
And for a golfer, that is, you know, you're willing to drive 45 minutes to go play somewhere. So trying to maintain a clientele here that, you know, is happy with your facility and conditions and pricing, always part of the challenge a little bit.
Wow. Well, obviously, so you got a chance to do that for a bit. And with your all your time you spent at the Claw, both as a player, a coach, and then ultimately managing it, you know, obviously when the university made a decision to, you know, have different plans for the future of that property, what were the emotions like for you and some of your colleagues about that when that happened last Labor Day?
Yeah, I never cried, but I was sad a lot. Because
a lot of people are. I mean, it was a lot, that's where I always hear a lot of stories. Hey, that's where I used to play.
A lot of memories there. So, and like you said, a whole lot of golf rounds at that place. But, you know, back, I don't remember what year it was, but we had an opportunity to invest some money in it from the local Florida State Golf Association. And we didn't take that opportunity at the time, but that probably would have changed the, you know, the reality of the condition of the clause and the investment in it. But, you know, life goes on. Our team's always had a facility to practice and sometimes compete on in tournaments, but there became a point where the Claw wasn't at the level that we wanted it to be for college competition. So, you know, we found different, really welcoming facilities within the Tampa Bay community and outside the community as well. And I think at the time that I stopped coaching, there were probably 18 different golf courses that we could, you know, make a phone call to and get access to, which was great. And I know that both Steve and Erica have continued that with our current teams and being able to, you know, host on different facilities that are great facilities and also take the team there for practice when they need it. Because in college golf, each tournament you play, you're trying to, you know, prepare for that type of shot that you're going to have on that course, or whether it's, you know, tight fairways or wide open facility. You want to be able to take your team to those, you know, as you prepare for that event.
Yeah, so with the history and nostalgia of the Claw, and for our listeners, if you're not familiar, so it is something that is being handled by the university now. We'll kind of find out some future uses of the facility, which, you know, north of Fletcher there in the months and years ahead. But in the meantime, what we're very grateful for and a priority of the future use of it is that we've maintained our varsity golf facility there from a training standpoint. Our locker rooms are there, and mm-hmm. we've even been able to improve the facility with not only the day-to-day maintenance, but even maintaining three of the holes right around the facility. That's become really a model of some of the better training facilities. And, you know, that's become a pattern, I guess I would say, of great facilities in college golf nationally. So for us to now have that capability has been a real benefit to both Coach Bradley and Coach Brennan.
It has, yeah. We captured, as part of their practice facility, we captured holes 4, 5, and 6 at the golf course. And it's a par 4, par 3, par 5. And, you know, a lot of character to all three of those holes. And we've been able now to maintain it within our athletic ground staff. And they do a fantastic job. Scott Grace has some background in golf course, you know, maintenance. And the guys know what they're doing, and they invest the time to make it nice over there. And it's funny, across the street from the golf course area or teams practice facilities lives a former golf course owner who actually was part of who hired me at Bloomingdale. So he lives over there across the street now, and he walks early in the mornings, and he isn't afraid to send me messages on how good the golf course looks or the irrigation head that's spraying in the street or something.
You got another watchdog on the
We do, and he's also from the very first USF golf team. He played golf here at USF.
Bobby, is that right?
Bobby Strickland. I don't know if he is on the podcast, but
we better get him
listening.
He's a new listener to Bull Speed Ahead. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, a lot of great things happening on that, and you're right. The care, I was able to stop out there a week ago to just kind of see how those holes are coming together, and you can tell it's they're really in increasingly good shape. So we're excited about that. So fast forward now, obviously you had that kind of experience specifically with golf, but as you've come here, an associate AD now, you have not only the sport administration responsibilities of both golf teams, but also with both our soccer teams currently. So you spend a lot of time there, and then you leads, it's an important part of, it's important to me, important to the university, important our relationship with Tampa Bay Sports Commission, that you are instrumental in leading our teams when we've been able to host some of these major events in recent times, and you've got a great team in that regard. And then obviously even more recently, we've just hosted even some American athletic championships, including this whole last week with both the women's and the men's, that, you know, one was at Southern Hills and one was at the Pelican Golf Club, which we're very grateful to both facilities. But to enhance and complement their staffs, your team does a lot to make that a special opportunity for our golf team. So just let's just talk about the championship and event aspect of your job and kind of the team you have surrounding you and why we probably are uniquely focused on that than maybe some of our competitors and other colleges don't maybe host as many events as we do. Maybe just talk about our philosophy on that.
Yep, and you know, after coaching the team for a lot of years, being able to jump into a role where you get to impact, you know, all the student athletes really in this role of event management is great. And I feel like, you know, what our goal needs to be as a department, small department, not the overall athletics, is to, you know, provide the best championship experience we can to the student athletes, whatever sport they play in. So, as you mentioned, we've got a great Team Tampa Bay, we call it, with the Sports Commission, with the investment that our overall athletics department puts into, you know, the championship hosting effort. And then it's also helpful, I think, that the conference, our current American Athletic Conference, you know, enjoys coming here. I think really the teams in our league enjoy coming to Florida, especially in the sport of golf. They, you know, it's been great for them. You know, we pick sites that aren't really our home site, but more of a neutral nature, even though maybe our team has gone out there before. But, you know, we try to keep that. And I think all the teams, some of the new teams in our league for golf, you know, this year, they've all mentioned how well they liked being here. And I think they'll, you know, like to continue. When the coaches vote on a site where they want to hold a championship, it's, you know, always good if they're looking this direction.
Well, we're blessed to live in one of the best cities in the country, as we all know, but to be, like you said, to be a part of Team Tampa Bay and bring events here, hey, it's great for tourism. It's great for putting not just USF student athletes, but for all the athletes in the conference to have a great experience and frankly, to give, you know, being closer to home, maybe being a little more familiar with facilities, I always like that it maybe gives our team's the very best chance to compete at the highest level and hopefully win.
Yeah, true.
So clearly, speaking of winning, and well, just to think back to your Team Tampa Bay, I mean, just in this last year alone, granted, we weren't the host institution for the Frozen Four, but we were involved in some capacity there. You had the volleyball championships. Yep. You had, obviously, you know, we're going to host the Final Four next year in women's basketball. Yep. So just it's always like another 1, 2, 3 extra projects to your daily job responsibility.
Yeah, and Amalie Arena is certainly part of that team. Whenever we host the big events that we play there, you know, there it's a great staff to work with, and we all work well together. So
makes it special, that's for sure. So when I said hopefully having a competitive advantage, or at least giving our you know student athletes a chance to basically have a home game when they play these championship events, you've had a very successful week at both Southern Hills for the women and obviously at the Pelican for the men. A really good overall finish for the women right there, competing on the very last nine to win there, and finished up in a slight third. And then obviously the men this weekend just having a tremendous final round in particular to get it done. So let's talk about those events, both how you ran them and then certainly in terms of how the team performed under your coordination with your coaches.
Yep, and we for the women's championship up at Southern Hills, this is the second year they've been there, but prior to that our men's championship was played up there for a few years, and so we're quite familiar with the facility and you know, as you mentioned, both our teams have had a chance to play there and compete well on there. Our women last week really put themselves in a great position to win that championship. But, you know, I think a couple of the other competitors there decided they were going to step up and play their best golf on that final round. So that's what happened. They still finished in a, you know, third position in the conference. But
and we have a watch party on Wednesday to see where they're going.
We do. So. Yeah, it really didn't affect their ability to get in the NCAA tournament because they're currently ranked 34th in the country. So a lot of success there. You know, they've had three wins as a team over the course of the year, and individual wins as well. So that'll be exciting this Wednesday when they find out where they're going to travel to compete.
That'll be a lot of fun. And then, you know, yesterday in particular for the men, just a tremendous, I mean, good all weekend long, really, you know, good enough Friday, great Saturday, and just an amazing Sunday performance.
When for the men yesterday at Pelican, it was, or on Sunday, I guess, it was a great result. They really stepped up and played well. Jake Peacock led the team there with a fantastic round of six under, so 64 out there. Quite impressive. It's, you know, it's since a single person doesn't usually, unless you're following a group, you're not able to keep up with what every group is doing. So you're kind of confined to watching on GolfStat, which has different colors.
That's what I do. As I walked around with Jake on both Saturday and Sunday, I'm sitting there clicking my GolfStat every 5 minutes.
It has different colors for different, you know, red's a birdie, par is no color, green is a bogey, and gosh, I really get fixated on the colors. And, you know, we're starting out, pretty good start, a little red in there, and then, I saw some green come in. But then at the end, you know, our team in the last six, seven holes really turned it on, made a lot of red on the scorecard. So that is good, and they certainly deserve that win. That was awesome to see.
Great conference championship, and obviously that they would have been in a good position on the NCAAs anyways, but to go ahead and get that automatic is always a nice situation.
Yep.
So talk just maybe a bit. I mean, we talked about how your events and championship division, we focus mostly on these championship events, which is good for the region and for USF, but even the daily events that we host for all of our teams here is takes a village. And maybe talk briefly about your full-time staff and then the army of interns and volunteers that we have both for championship events and for game days.
Yeah, and event management, we have a great full-time staff, but we've got 35 intern staff that are all a lot of them are in sport management, either undergrad or graduate degree programs, and you know, they love sports, really, whatever it is, and you can tell how they are invested in what they do. You know, no matter how big or small the task is at the time, they do it, and you know, they do it well. And it's not just our department, but other departments, you know, within athletics at USF are similarly invested, and I think that's what makes a lot of our home events great and fun to compete on.
Yeah, as I get a chance to travel around the country and around the conference, you know, everyone does it well at this level in the conference, but I'm very proud of the event management that we put not only to what our fans experience, but to most importantly what the game management of what our athletes and our you know, officials and everybody kind of deal with and know they deal with a high level of professionalism that we come to expect here. So as we wrap it up, Jim, I think the other, you've provided some great insights on your career and all the great work you do here at USF, but you also have, we'll call it volunteer, because you also have served on committees, NCAA committees, and particularly, we don't know, I don't think either one of us know the full stats of this, but you're on one committee now, you've been on the women's and men's golf committee. Now, there's not many that have done that. But anyways, talk about those experiences. And then now, with your current role, what you're going to go into this upcoming week as you help decide the national slate for golf.
Yep, I was selected to be on the women's national Division I committee for golf 2014 to 2017. So served on that committee. And during that time, I guess 2 years earlier in 2012, we were awarded to host the national championship for golf in 2015 down at the Concession Club in Bradenton. So During my committee time on the Women's Committee, we were also hosted the national championship. And in 2015, it was the first year that both championships were consecutive on the same golf course, and it was televised on the Golf Channel. So we had 7 days of women followed by 7 days of men, and each championship had 3 days of live coverage on the Golf Channel. And it was a huge hit. It was not many hours of sleep over that period, but really a lot of fun. And, you know, to be on the committee, experience that, but also as a host and have our USF team, and also as a first-year Steve Bradley head coach, competing in that championship, getting all the way to the finals of the men's side in match play. So He was a quarterfinalist in match play. So that was a pretty awesome and special experience.
Good first entry into it.
Fast forward to the men's committee. Now I'm able to serve on the men's committee, which last year was my first year. So this would be my second. I think they've granted me a touch of an extension, and I might be on it one more year.
All right.
But, unless I do something wrong and I, you know, that changes. But it's really been good there. And I was on a call this morning with I got to be chair of the committee currently on the men's side. But I was on a call with the chair of the women's committee this morning and our two committee liaisons from the NCAA. And his name's Brad Hurlbut, he actually was on the men's committee previously.
Really?
And rose to chair. So I brought up to him, Brad,
are you two the only two guys?
You and I may be the only two. We need a special hat this year at the championship. But
we are going to have to call Indianapolis, at least find out. You guys maybe are the only two.
We'll that would be great. That. But it's, you know, for my role, you know, going from coach full-time, certainly, then to get to experience, you know, with all our teams from an event management administrative standpoint, but being able to stay tied so closely with golf, which is where I started, you know, has quite been a special career. So,
well, we appreciate you going the extra mile on that committee stuff is tough. So, just what will the next couple days or next week be like for you as you determine the field with your committee members?
Yep. On the men's side, well, the women's side, the selection show is this Wednesday at 2:00 on the Golf Channel. And then the men's side, we follow it by a week. So, our selection show will be next Wednesday at 2:00 on the Golf Channel. The selections for our committee, we'll start talking about it, Thursday of this week. And
are all the conference meets done? Tournaments finished
no,
yet?
No, they're not. We have several that are left to play. I think only about five or six of them have been decided at this point. Okay. So on the women's side, they still have a championship that wraps up Tuesday, so later today.
Another one of those. And is it all done? Is it done remotely in this case, or do you all converge upon a certain?
Yep, it's virtual now. We used to fly in and spend time together, but now we'll do that virtually, and it's just as effective if you can sit for a six-hour conference virtual call.
Yeah. Well, it'll be an exciting week for you to kind of determine that field.
It
is.
Yeah.
It's awesome to have a leadership opportunity like that to be the chair of the men's golf tournament. So congratulations on that, and thanks for all you're doing for the extra beyond your normal day job to serve the NCAA and to serve all these golf teams across the country. So, well, Jim, that's going to kind of wrap us up today, but just on behalf of all of Bulls Nation, thank you for what you've done as a Bull at every level imaginable, and all the great ways you bleed green and gold now, even in your current roles that serve our fans and our student athletes and our staff in so many different ways. So we appreciate you, and thanks for joining us on Bull Speed Ahead.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure.